been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Here we go. It is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S. of A. Happy Thanksgiving to all those celebrating. Happy Thursday if you're out of the country and you're just enjoying yourself and enjoying this late November week. The Ravens are coming off of a win, an ugly win, but still a win this past week against the Carolina Panthers. And now they're getting ready for those all-elite Jags. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving week. I'm good, man.
I'm feeling good?
Festive, ready to go.
All right, you know what I want to do? I want to start this show off a little different, okay? Because it's Thanksgiving week. I don't know if you listened to the Benched with Bonetta podcast, but I'm a big fan. I've been listening to it this year. This week, Rachel Bonetta and Kyle Brandt did start, bench, cut, Thanksgiving food edition. So let's go over this. Let's do a start, benched, cut for your choices for Thanksgiving food. So Thanksgiving feast, it's the big dinner. What portion of the dinner are you starting? Who is your number one? Who's your captain? Who is starting for Thanksgiving dinner for you?
Turkey sliders.
Turkey sliders?
Yes, I take the dinner rolls, cut them open, and I make turkey sliders with the hodgepodge of things like cranberry sauce and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, so I make turkey sliders.
I like it. All right. Go ahead.
Do I should get through the starting lineup, like the whole gambit, like my starting plate, like what's on my plate?
No, I was just gonna say, you know, one for one, like what, like
okay,
who, like
I'll say,
no matter,
well, turkey's the main thing, right?
So your like, starter is turkey.
Turkey, obviously. I mean,
okay. For me, I'd have to say, like, you kind of you brought it up a little bit, but my starter, and it doesn't really get a lot of shine, the dinner roll. The dinner roll for me, it's got to be there at Thanksgiving dinner. You got to be able to make your own little turkey slider, like you said, or if you want to just get some butter on there, you know, kind of like get your palate ready. For me, I got to have those dinner rolls. They got to be on the table. They got to be there. It's one of the most important things of the dinner for Thanksgiving is the dinner roll.
All right. You know who gets rolls right? It's Texas exactly. Roadhouse.
Oh, I haven't been there, really.
Whoa. Time out. What?
Yeah.
You haven't been to Texas Roadhouse?
I've never been to Texas Roadhouse.
We're going to have to change that. Next time we're together, we're going out. I got to treat you. You want a roll? You haven't had a roll until a Texas Roadhouse roll.
Okay. All right. Good. I love
like
a good dinner roll.
With it. Oh,
they go sweet. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Interesting. I have to check that out. All right.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I go to, like, you know, I go to places that aren't chains. I go to independently owned places. So I don't go to very many.
As do I, but Texas Roadhouse is the one Chino will frequent.
Okay. All right.
All right. Who's on your bench?
All right. So benched, I'm going to go with mashed potatoes. Benched means they can come back later on down the road. But for this one, I feel like Thanksgiving dinner, you've got two starches. You know, you've got your sweet potatoes and your mashed potatoes. I feel like you can probably get rid of one of those. And I want sweet potatoes on the plate with the marshmallows on top. I want to see them. Mashed potatoes, they can hit the bricks for a game or two. They're benched. So what about you? Who is benched for your Thanksgiving feast?
Who is benched? Wow. You know what? I would say I don't want to follow your lead, but I would say the sweet potatoes because of the same reasoning is because you can't interchange it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I got to be in the mood for a sweet potato. Like, I love the regular potatoes, you know, but I feel like, you know, again, I feel like you can just interchange potatoes. So I'm going to bench the sweet potatoes. But hey, who knows? I can bring them back, like you said.
Okay. All right. All right. So this is a big one. Who gets cut? Who is no longer featured in the feast of Thanksgiving? Who gets cut from your Thanksgiving feast?
Who gets cut from my Thanksgiving feast? I would say, oh, I mean, there's so many options to cut because I'm very picky, so I can cut a lot. yeah, I'm very, very picky. You know what? I would say, like, I don't know if this is a tradition in anybody's house, but like sauerkraut or green beans, they're getting cut.
I was going to ask you actually if sauerkraut was a tradition on your family. Like, I'm very German, so sauerkraut is a staple on the table. I don't eat it, but like, apparently I read something that it's actually a very big Baltimore tradition, and I thought it was just my family because we were German, but apparently that's really big in Baltimore, sauerkraut.
Wow. I didn't know that. Honestly, I didn't know that. But yeah, that's getting cut. Not a fan.
I would cut a green bean casserole because, like, we're feasting. We're having a good time here. We don't need anything that even resembles a vegetable. I mean, come on. If we're going to pig out and we're going to do really bad on our diet, let's go all out. We don't need green beans there. Come on. Just give me all the bad stuff.
Green beans are not all elite. They are out of the picture.
All right. Well, that is our start bench cut segment here. Let us know what you think. Go over to our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join us over there. Tell us, who are you starting? Who are you cutting? Who are you benching here for your Thanksgiving feast coming up on Thursday? So let's talk about it. The Ravens were up against the Carolina Panthers this past week. Little bit of an ugly game, little bit of a defensive game, not a lot of points scored, but the Ravens were able to come away with a win and kind of looked like they kind of came alive there in the fourth, finally waking up after that long bye week. So you were there. What was it like? What were your thoughts of this game this past Sunday?
Quite interesting. I knew you were going to give. What was it like? You were there. It was cold.
I was in the car, so I was listening to the game halfway through. I left at halftime from the beach to go home, and I listened to it the rest of the way.
Yeah, and what was it like on radio? What was it like on radio?
Jerry Sandusky, Is it Jerry Sandusky? Yeah, Jerry Sandusky, he seemed a little bored there. He was kind of like,
that's the best way to describe it, because like, I'm watching this game. And I kid you not, I'm in the stands with my hands in my hoodie pocket, just sitting like this. Like, I literally said, this might be the first game I actually have a voice when I leave, because there's nothing to get excited about. It's cold. I don't feel like moving. The Ravens, they give me nothing excited to get warm about, right? And wow. Very, very boring. Now, totality of it, almost couldn't wait to talk about this game. You're like, Josh, why? You know, it's 13-3. Win over the Panthers. They barely did anything. Why? Why? Is because the Ravens just won their fourth in a row. It's exciting. Why? Because they beat a team by double digits, two scores, which a team that they should have beaten, they did. A team that they only gave up 3 points. I don't care who it is. The same team, albeit it was a different quarterback, PJ Walker, they beat the Buccaneers.
Right.
You know, just because they have a soft schedule the remainder of the way, and they do, does not discount the fact that these are still NFL teams and NFL players they're playing against. Anybody can get beat. We've seen that. But yeah, excuse me. The game was very boring. The Ravens gave us little to nothing to get said about until the fourth quarter. And then it was a big party. Lamar scores. The defense is getting turnovers. I'm up and yelling and screaming, and I feel warm. I'm not numb anymore. Like, this is great. Like, this is what it was supposed to be like. And I think everybody expected this to be a, like you say, like a Lamar sitting in fourth quarter game, which was obviously the opposite. Yeah. You know, and I think that's everybody. I mean, we're in the stands prior to game. We're like, it's going to be 55-10. This is going to be a feast and and it's Thanksgiving week and we're going to leave early. I mean, and the morning was great. Tailgating was good. It was our first cold game of the year. It was windy. The elements were a part of it, but it was a sunny day in Baltimore. And you get there and offense couldn't do jack. Defense was stellar. Defense was the star of the show.
Yeah.
I'm more upset about a lot of things, like in the stands. Like I lost my voice at the end because obviously there was something to get excited about. But then I also was equally frustrated for the first three quarters because the Ravens couldn't do anything, and I felt like the offense was vanilla. Bro, we could talk about the defense the whole show, right? Very easily, but I really want to start off by really, really picking apart this offense. The offense, the whole team, first off, had a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare, whether they were relaxing, recharging, rejuvenating, whatever. They had 2 weeks to prepare for this opponent, 2 weeks to prepare for the second half of the season.
Right.
And this is the offensive performance that you put out. They just got Mark Andrews back. Yeah, I know that Ojabo was inactive and Gus Edwards was inactive. Gus for the offense and Ojabo, we won't see him for another week maybe on the defensive side. But, bro, like, this is the offensive firepower you've got to put out there after a bye week. Give me a break. After the first few quarters, I was like, look, they're going to screw around and Panthers are going to score. And I said it, first touchdown and the only touchdown, first touchdown wins the game. Obviously, the Ravens got it, but you know that was the way the game was going. It was, you know, 3-0 and 3-3 and 6-3. And you're just like, no, will somebody do something? Like, Ravens were uneventful to watch on offense. I don't know what's going on. I felt like, again, Greg Roman got back to that the vanilla type offensive law. The running game was non-existent. And what was this game plan of, we know their identity, right? Running the football. I think, what did they start with, like 6 or 8 pass plays in a row? Like, right. I looked, I'm like, they haven't even attempted a rush yet. Like, they were just winging the ball, you know, lethargic, three and outs. You know, that's why I said, look, I have concerns from this team, but, you know, they're winning despite those concerns. So it's like, really? You know, this sounds like the same thing that we said last year. Remember? You know, I said the exact same phrasing. They're winning despite all their flaws. Like, they were 8-3 at the one point. You remember all the injuries that went down last year, and they were like, well, they're 8-3 despite all that. Like, then Lamar went out and the rest is history. But, you know, like I said, like, they were favored by 12. They won by 10. You know, and if I look at other places in the NFL where wins happened to teams that deservingly got the win, look, the Eagles were down 10 in the fourth against Colts. They barely won. They won by one. But at the end of the day, their win counts the same as the Ravens' win, right? It's a win. The Chiefs. Yeah, we know it's the Chiefs. They're 8-2. It's Patrick Mahomes. But they had to do a come-from-behind last-minute drive to beat the Chargers with a minute 30 left. Ravens didn't have any of that. They won soundly by 10, and even though the score is 13-3, it wasn't even that close. You know, I mean – The Panthers drove deep into Ravens territory at one drive, and that was their field goal. They got sniffed near the red zone, and that was it. You know, Baker and company couldn't get anything done either, and this was a game where you knew the Ravens were not going to lose. It just was sucky that instead of scoring 13, you know, instead of scoring 40 points, they scored 13, and you expected them to score more, but can you really be that mad? I guess so, because of a bye week, and I feel like I wouldn't be this agitated if it wasn't a bye week. I'd be like, okay, hey, they won a 13-3 game. It was gritty. It was cold. It was, well, that was your typical football game. And I love defense. So it was back to the roots, you know, scoring less and the other team scoring way less, right? So, again, you know, offense was less than subpar as we know it, non-existent, disgusting. They got to pick it up. But look, how mad can we really be? They won 4 straight games. The only other team that's doing that right now is the Kansas City Chiefs. Those two teams, the Chiefs and the Ravens, have 4-game winning streaks right now. Dallas Cowboys had one previously, but that was in the beginning of the year under their Cooper Rush situation. Dakless Cowboys there. But, you know, the Ravens, again, 4-game winning streak. They are 7-3. going to Jacksonville this Sunday. I get, can you really be mad? They still hold a 1.5 game lead to the Bengals, who found a way to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Pittsburgh can help us out to knock the Bengals to 500. So Bengals 6-4, Ravens 7-3. But that's the thing. Ravens are 7-3. You look on pace just in the AFC, they're one game behind for the best record. Chiefs 8-2. I mean, the Titans are 7-3. The Bills are 7-3. At the end of the day, I care more about the seven than how many points they won by. Excuse me. You don't get style points for wins. Last I checked, the Ravens don't get an extra tick mark for, oh, you beat the brains out of the Panthers, or you barely won against the Panthers. Like, there is no difference. That seven still holds the same weight. Stack wins, qualify yourselves for the playoffs, win that division. That's all that matters. And, you know, we can break it down all day, I guess, the performance, man. But that's kind of where I'm at with the offense. And, I mean, obviously the defense started to show, flying around the ball, held the team 3 points, forced 3 turnovers, Marlon getting in the mix. You had Marcus Peters also in the mix with the fumble. Should have been a scoop and score. I did call that Boger's crew would call at least 2 bad calls, and they did. That was less than stellar, too. That also added to the flavor of the game being boring, because then not only you're bored, you're frustrated with the offense, and you're frustrated with the crew because they're just being what they are, is trash. And, you know, and at the end, JPP getting in the mix with his interception. So, overall, I mean, Lamar overcame his mistake. He threw right to the defender. We know Ravens won the turnover battle. They won the time possession battle, and they won the scoreboard. So, at the end of the day, I felt like it was a solid win for the Ravens still, but, you know, how confident are you with this group as far as the offense is concerned moving forward later in the season for these teams that they're facing? Because we already know the defense had its issues prior. That's been put to bed, at least for right now. Defense is right now becoming, now with the running game, we know what the running game can do. I feel like the defense is being the identity of this team again.
Yeah, this feels like the year 2000 all over again. It feels like the Ravens defense is the star of the show. They are really – they're making – they're must-see TV. They're doing their thing, and that's what wins championships. Defense wins championships. We're seeing a guy like Roquan Smith come in, and he's making Patrick Queen a better player on the defense. That's what we want to see. Marcus Peters, who has had his issues, I haven't been a big fan this year, he's doing better. He's doing his thing in this past game against Carolina. Lamar is the offense. We have a guy like Mark Andrews, who is welcome back to the team. I mean, first play takes, what, 6 guys to get him down to the ground. I mean, as always, stellar performance from Mark Andrews. You want to see him out there. But this offense is still very lackluster. It's not doing anything what you want it to do. I predicted 31-13 for this game, and it didn't happen. Lamar had an all right outing on Sunday, but Lamar is the offense. That's it. It's there's nobody out there really, unless it's Mark Andrews. Nobody's really making a lot of plays. We've seen great stuff from, like, Kenyon Drake. We have seen stuff, like, from Devin Duvernay in the past. But these guys are not making superstar plays. But I say that at the same time, though, do they have to? Do these players have to make all-star plays? Or can this team get by with this I don't even want to say run of the mill. That's not the right term. This offense that is not splashy, is not special. This offense is getting.
But does it need to be? But does it need to be?
That's what I'm saying.
We saw it in 19. It won Lamar the MVP, deservedly so, but look where it got us. Yeah, it got the 1 seed, but they did nothing with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think you and me agree. It's more fun when it's splashy.
Sure.
Right? But win's a win. I don't know. I'm not discounting this performance by just saying, oh, it's a win. Calm down, everybody. But it's like, you know, I even said on socials, you know, people are just off the rails. I'm like, look, time out. Like, enjoy the win. Like, the football team won their 4th straight, and everybody's like, yeah, but I get it, right? But there's other teams that have issues, you know? I don't know. I just think a fourth win in a row is more important at all. But look, they can get all that fixed. I don't know if it's right now fixable, but who knows? But they certainly got to get in gear, because that kind of performance against you get it, because everybody was out. Do that against the Bills again. Do that against Mahomes in the playoffs. You're bounced. I get it, right? We get it. They're not going to go far in the playoffs if they do that. But look, that was that game. It doesn't mean that they're going to play like that 2, 3, or 4 weeks from now. They might go to Jacksonville Sunday and win by 30. Who knows? You know, and then we're like, oh, there they are. You know, it doesn't matter. But again, I'm still agitated by the fact that they kind of just came out flat with a bye week. And not ready to rock, ready to go. You're back at the crib a month later. They haven't been M&T Bank since, you know, October 9th. It felt like October 22nd, sorry, against the Browns. And, you know, you come out lazy. But
is it December 4th? Is that the next time they're at M&T Bank?
That is right, yes. Okay. That December 4th against the Broncos is the next time they're home.
Gotcha. Okay, I was just – all right, gotcha. You see, this might actually do Lamar good. Might do some of these, like, Kenyon Drake and everything good. They're going down to Florida. Might be a little bit warmer there. They might enjoy that weather a little bit more, perform a little bit better. But then they have to come back to potentially chilly Baltimore in a week later.
Yeah. I mean, the weather could be a thing, but I don't think it's a factor. I mean, the Ravens, you know, Lamar's been here too long to understand that. I mean, and these players know when they come to Baltimore, whether they've been here for a while or they're brand new this year, Baltimore geographically located in a cool environment in the wintertime. So they should know what they're getting themselves into when they put on that purple and black. So it is what it is. Yeah, but it's nice to have a warm weather game, especially if you're a fan and going to it. But, you know, yeah, it might be a good welcome thing for them and a good wake-up call to get down there and maybe, you know, get the juices flowing, get the warm weather flowing. You come off of Thanksgiving week and you hammer it hard and maybe show that, hey, you know, maybe we just needed a flat game to get in gear. I don't know, but I'm just hoping they can get in gear quick.
I'm not too concerned. I'll say that after this game against Carolina, I'm not too concerned about the rest of the year, given the schedule and given where they are right now. I'm not worried about what they're going to do next, but because I think this defense is solid. I think the big thing right now with the rest of these games is get out with a win, but get out without any injuries. This past game, we saw Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton both go down, and that's going to be two huge holes if those guys don't play moving forward. They're listed as day-to-day right now. They did not practice on Wednesday, so I think this game is a good indication of what we can probably expect as fans to see the rest of the year. Are they going to be games where they're going to be scoring 40, 50 points every game? No, it's not. They're going to be low scoring games, but I think that it's going to be more defensively minded. And I think they have to do that. You know, with Rashad Bateman going down, he's definitely not coming back. I know a lot of people are clamoring to get Odell Beckham on this team. I highly doubt that the Ravens do that. I don't see that happening. So I think what we're getting from the offense is what we're going to get. But I think the defense is strong enough and impressive enough to get the job done. The Ravens, you know, they have Justin Tucker scoring field goals when needed. They do have Lamar Jackson, who is dynamic, who can throw the ball, who can run the ball. I think this is not a spectacular offense, but it's a get the job done offense. And that's what you need. Like you said, you know, whether they win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning. That's how it works. That's what I think we're going to get the rest of the year. We're going to get a team that is fine. They're good. Yeah, absolutely. They'll get the job done. And that's what we need, especially down the stretch here, November, December. You need to get the job done. You need to get out without injuries, and you need to get out with a dub. And I think this team can do that.
It's interesting you bring up get the job done, because getting the job done, I don't want to focus solely on Lamar and one player, but in relation to his contract situation, him just getting the job done and that kind of playing the game manager, that's not going to get himself paid. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down the stretch, if he's willing to take what's given at that point. But right now, as we know it, since week three, he has not played like an MVP type caliber player. But yeah, he's been under center and this whole year, and they are 7-3, but they're winning different ways. And you know, we understand that the Ravens are a winner. They win 75% of the games since he's been in the league and inserted as starting quarterback since 2018. It's no secret about that. He's a proven winner, but it's interesting when you say that. You know, if you're talking about a game manager, just get the job done, kind of like a Taylor Heinicke right now, right? For the Commanders. It's that, hey, just minimize your mistakes. Don't do enough to make us lose, and we'll be all right. Like, and I really can't wait to see how that plays out, you know, going forward, and especially with this offense continues to perform like they are and be a little anemic. And, you know, and on that, I don't know who's to blame. I don't know if it's Lamar solely, if it's Greg Roman, if it's the whole unit, you know, or if it's Harbaugh. I don't know. I would love to find out. But, you know, look, I just want to get over that lackluster, uneventful performance. But, hey, kudos to Lamar. He found the end zone when it mattered to put the game out of reach pretty much, because as soon as they scored that, I was like, all right, game over. Like, game, set, match. Like, it's pretty much done. So, yeah, I really can't wait to see what they have in store on offense going down the road, but that's not going to get it done. But, hey, they're 7-3. Defense is feasting, just like it was Thanksgiving feast, bro, and I'm excited about that, because it was a good bit ago where we were very, very worried about this defense.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even that long. It was weeks, if that, weeks ago that we were saying this defense wasn't going to be able to get it done. Now it's a complete 180, and this defense is like the star of the show.
Absolutely, and they are the star right now, and they got stars that are performing just like that. You know, Marlon and, you know, Marcus getting involved, and our new additions, GPP. We know what Roquan's doing. And it's also allowing, you know, Patrick Queen to be freed. You know, I heard the term unlocked. We've unlocked Patrick Queen by adding Roquan. So, I mean, and the defense is getting healthier. As we talked about some injuries, I'm going to talk about that. So I did hold my breath when Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton went down. I'm like, oh, no, here we go. I was expecting Stanley to be going for the year. Kyle looked, he was going to be okay from at least my eye view from the seats I had, but I wasn't so sure about Stanley and the way he was going around and getting up. But apparently both of them are day-to-day, which is a huge sigh of relief, thankfully, for anything this Thanksgiving season, thankful for that. No one's out for the year, so hold your breath and you can exhale. But defense is getting stronger. Guess who just activated this week? Marcus Williams.
That's right.
The game changer early in the year, who was having all the interceptions to himself. We understand he got hurt early in the year. He's been activated off IR. I don't think he's going to be rushed back in a couple weeks. Maybe we'll see him. But
yeah, I think they said they have 21 days. They have 21 yes. days to activate him on injury reserve. Yeah.
Yeah. And they activated him today, came off. Apparently he was a very, very limited participant in practice today. Not really doing much, which shows you that he's not probably quite up to snuff there. But it's great news overall to get Marcus Williams back. So this team is relatively healthy and getting healthy right now. Obviously, they had a little bit of nicks and bruises here, but they'll get over it. No one's really missing any detrimental amount of time or anything like that. But guess who's also healthy? Is their next opponent, Jacksonville Jaguars. They didn't have anybody listed on injury report on practice.
Zero. Coming off a bye.
Zero, yeah. So let's hope that they come out flat off a bye and the Ravens come off strong. They're two games off the bye. But next opponent is in Jacksonville, sunny Jacksonville, Florida, for a Sunday bout against the Jacksonville Jaguars, AFC opponent. Fully expect the Ravens to take care of business there. I mean, their schedule sets up where obviously they could easily be favored. If not, they should be favored in every game from here on out. These are teams that they can absolutely beat. Am I saying three right now? Can they win out? Who knows? I think they can. They have the schedule to do it. They have the personnel to do it, and they're the better team in every matchup. So why not? But let's take it game by game. And I think the Ravens can certainly take it to them. But Jacksonville's going to give us a hard out, man. They got some talent down there. You know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, yeah, he's had ups and downs, but they got a new coach, Doug Peterson. They're bowling out for him. They're already more successful in their most recent years. Hey, they're not lying for the number one draft pick, so that's something, right, for Jacksonville. And, you know, they have their own weapons. I mean, Calais Campbell actually was touting Travis Etienne as, hey, he's Alvin Kamara, but faster. Just quoting saying that. So you know, the Ravens know what's in front of them. They got some playmakers, and it all shuts down. I think if they shut down the running game in Jacksonville, it's pretty much you got to rely on Trevor Lawrence to beat you. And I think the Ravens, with this defense, they're going to shut that down quickly. And the way they shut down Deonta Foreman, that's something else I wanted to touch on before moving Jacksonville, the running game, right? They shut down Deonta Foreman, as we know it, was running pretty good. And Ravens shut him down. I mean, he had minuscule fancy points for me on my team. I had to start him, had no choice. And that was something that was very pleasing to me. So I think if they really take that same game plan defensively and that mentality and shut down Travis Etienne, it's going to flow well for the defense.
Now, do you think that we're going to see a run-in by Chris Jericho to finally get that revenge on Lamar Jackson?
You know what? It could. I think that was a stuff that it's funny you say that too, because isn't, as we know, for folks that don't know, obviously me and Brandon are big wrestling fans. If you should know this by now. And the fact that when you say All Elite, the Jacksonville Jaguars are tied in with AEW because of the owner, right? The owner of Jacksonville also owns AEW.
Right. I think it's his son, Tony Khan. Tony Khan works for the
Jags. Khan family, but it's the Khan family.
Yeah.
But it's not Tony Khan himself. It's
right.
Yeah. But it's the Khan family.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a numbers guy for the Jags, but he does own and run AEW wrestling. And they usually perform at Daly's place, which I think shares a parking lot with the stadium there in Jacksonville.
Well, and also Jacksonville's was one of these sites for their pay-per-views in the stadium stampede. Remember?
That's right.
So, you know, and that was pretty funny because that was back when Urban Meyer was coaching the NFL and he was featured, and that was pretty fun to see. But, yeah, so you're right. Maybe Jericho could come out and challenge Lamar. Maybe light some fire up Lamar, man, because I don't know. Just wake these guys up for a minute, man. Just wake them up.
I hope that we get to see Lamar Jackson on Sunday. It seems that on Wednesday, Lamar did not practice.
Did he have another baby?
Due to a hip injury.
We did practice for what?
Lamar Jackson did not practice on Wednesday due to a hip injury, not a new baby. You know, everybody was talking about him having a new baby. Apparently that was his god kid, but he's letting everybody know. But Lamar did not practice on Wednesday due to a hip injury. Now, I don't remember him doing a cartwheel or anything into the end zone this year. So I don't know what's going on with Lamar's hip, but it seems as if Lamar may not be 100% right now.
Yeah, I think my memory serves me correctly, I remember the play that I thought he was a little banged up on. I'm not be surprised if he's just listening on the Drew report, but bro, he'll be okay. I mean, they got to list him on there as precaution. And also because that's protocol, but I don't think it's anything to monitor. I mean, who am I, right? Not the team doctor. This is my opinion on the matter, but I don't think it's anything to monitor, but it is concerning for maybe a tiny bit because you're like, oh, great. Lamar's listed on the injury report. I mean, but how many times was Tom Brady listed on the injury report and it's questionable or like limited in practice and he goes out for his 4 touchdowns? Granted, no. Lamar's not Tom Brady. I'm not comparing to both, but like, just saying for the record, you know, some of these guys, they're just listed because they got to list them because they had to put an official designation. But, you know, for bringing it up, I think it's worth mentioning that, yeah, something to monitor, but I don't think it's going to impact Lamar or anything of that nature. But it will be something to monitor if he struggles on Sunday and we find out that it's bothering him. Yeah, it's going to be a bigger deal, but it's the first that we're learning about it, and it's midweek, and the Ravens are going to travel later in the week to Jacksonville. The game's on Sunday, so we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, hoping that he's going to be okay, just like the rest of them.
Coach Harbaugh is saying that even though Lamar did miss Wednesday's practice, he does plan to play Lamar on Sunday, so that's a good thing. Hopefully this is just for him to kind of heal up and rest a little bit. Other guys on the injury report on Wednesday, we had Ronnie Stanley, Kyle Hamilton. They're both listed day-to-day. They're going to be game-time decisions. Hopefully we can see him out there. Gus Edwards was a limited participant in practice as well. Mark Andrews, not on the injury report whatsoever. So So that's really good. And DeSean Jackson, he was actually out there for the first time since that New Orleans game where he got injured. So potentially maybe seeing him out on the field as well coming up. So banged up team, maybe not 100%, but hopefully Kyle Hamilton and Ronnie Stanley are out there. Hopefully they can make an impact on this game on Sunday. But those two guys really are the only question marks right now, I think, is just what's going to happen next. When Ronnie Stanley went down, my first initial thought was, well, there's his career. It's over. He took him 2 years to come back from the last ankle injury. He's injured again. He's probably done. But hopefully everything's all right with him. We do see him on Sunday. Time will tell. But as far as midweek, neither of those guys are practicing. Hopefully that's just being a little bit overcautious, letting those guys rest. And we do see them eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, we collectively hold our breath when any player goes down. But, yeah, the feel for Ronnie Stanley in an instant, I certainly had it back in my mind thinking, oh, no, second major injury in so many years. Yeah, he's done. So it's good that it's the list is day-to-day. Kyle's also lists day-to-day, and it's good that these guys are on the mend. And the Ravens, if they keep their winning ways about them and get stronger, they're going to be the team everybody don't want to play, as usual.
All right, so should we talk about who we think's going to win and what the score is at this point? What do you think?
Well, I think, well, you already heard me say that the Ravens can certainly take care of business. I certainly think to get it done. I'm going to say – let's say another double-digit lead and a score and a win. Ravens win this one handily, 27-13.
All right, so you're going against what we saw last week. You think they're actually going to score a couple more points than they did against the Panthers, all right?
Yes, they are.
All right, well, I'm gonna be a little bit more conservative because last time I said 31-13, they didn't do anything, and they scored 13 points themselves. I'm going to say the Ravens are going to win 17-6.
17-6.
Yeah. No touchdowns for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That'll be two games in a row, no touchdowns. I love it.
Let's keep going. This defense, man, is something. These guys are scary. I like it. I want to see what else they can do. I think that's in the back of their mind as well. I mean, this is Calais Campbell's old team. Going back home, Calais. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if they can get away with no touchdowns in two games. All right, so Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just go over to our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Join us, whatever you want to do on that server. We're over there on Discord, and we do some fun game day chats. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, we will have finished our first ever live broadcast over on Discord. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we could get that going and everything works out where we do our tailgate taste test, but we shall see. Hopefully you guys joined us over there on Discord. And if it goes well, we're going to do more of that stuff. So make sure you check us out over on Discord. Go check us out over on Facebook as well, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we post our shows on Facebook as well. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, I mean, when AEW was in town, you did a promo against Chris Jericho. Should we do another promo against the Jacksonville Jags? Get this team ready. Go into Jacksonville. Take us out the way you always do.
All right, you put me on the spot, bro, but here it goes. So, all right, Jacksonville. I know it's Thanksgiving week, and you're thankful for a lot. Thankful for the food. Thankful for the freedom. Thankful for family. Thank you for football. But I know you're not thankful for is playing the Ravens on Sunday. Ha-ha! I know that you're not thankful for that because now you got to look forward to all this unkindness descending upon the city and taking everything from you. and you got to face this defense. And oh, wait, we got Lamar on the sidelines. We'll see you Sunday. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.